It's really a blessing to be able to speak with God's people on a day such as this, the Feast of Trumpets, a time of rejoicing before God. There's so much to think about and so much to rejoice about in the plan of God this day. It pictures some of those amazing things to happen. Sometimes it's a contrast in our own life. This last week and several weeks, we've been going through some things that show the frailty of the human body and the human mind, but the strength of God's Spirit in His people, even when we have the difficult trials. We come together on a day like this with our hearts ready to hear again God's Word, to be able to thank Him for the blessing of knowing the truth and believing it and living by it. I really appreciated that first message this morning. Covered a lot of material, and some of the verses that were covered I'll speak of this afternoon as well. There's so many layers of understanding of God's Word and His truth for us all. I just wanted to say what a blessing it is to be with you again on such an important day. In preparation for the message, I went through about 25 years of my own notes of Feast of Trumpets messages, and to see some of the things that I've learned over the years and been able to share, and some things I've learned more deeply and more recently even. And I wanted to start again like I most often do, with just a clean sheet of paper and start with a message for you for today, so that I could again be studying and learning myself. So I want to start slow, and I want to build towards something that I think will be really good and important for us all to see. I want to start where the Bible starts about this day in Leviticus chapter 23 and 24, verse 24. We heard this morning as well. But there's a starting point here that I think as we analyze and see what's in this verse, we'll see some of the depth that can sometimes be read over if we just read it and go on. But I want to take a little bit of time with this. In Leviticus 23 and verse 24, speak to the children of Israel, to God's special people, to the ones He called out of this world and brought out of Egypt. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. I want to focus on, first of all, this word memorial and describe some of the things that we can understand about the meaning of that word, but also see it in Scripture, see how it's used, and then I want to go on to that phrase about blowing of trumpets. This morning, the sermon message was, if I get it right, was see, hear, and do. My message is about the sights and the sounds and the doing that we find on this day. We're going to wind up at the same destination that we heard this morning, but we're going to come at it from a different point of view. This memorial, the word in Hebrew is zikron, and in Strong's, it's number 2146. And I mention the number because often there are root words that are very closely related, and they are very close in the numbering system in the Strong's Concordance. This one is 2146. It comes from the root word, which is number 2142. And so they're very close even in the dictionary. It means a memento, a memorable thing, a day of or writing, something to remember, something that presents a record for us. And if you look through the Scriptures, you see many different forms of that memorial. You have the memorial stones, for instance, that were placed in the middle of the Jordan River, and then on the bank on the west side as the children of Israel came out in the time of Joshua. Those stones were a memorial of what had happened, but also of what God was doing for them. Memorials have the intent of helping us look back at what has happened, what God has done, but also forward into what he promises will be done as well. An example of connecting past events with future events could be this in Malachi chapter 3. Hold your place here in Leviticus and we'll be back, but look in Malachi 3 because this connects with this holy day as well. In Malachi 3 and verse 16, where God is speaking of something that he remembers, and he uses the same word. In Malachi 3:16, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance, a memorial book was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. And so God has a memorial that he keeps, a record of his people, those who he loves. And verse 17 shows it ties it not just to his understanding of each one of us in our lifetime now, but into the future. And he says in verse 17, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And what day is that? It's the day when he returns to this earth and makes us, as he calls it, his jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves them. We see the memorial that is the way God understands it. It's there for remembering the past and looking forward to the future as well. This day is a memorial of the blowing of trumpets. And so there's something in the past that connects with something in the future. And it's very important that we see this. There are many other examples of such memorials in the scriptures, like the Sabbath. The Sabbath itself is a memorial of God's past work, but also a reminder of his promises. Remember how it's written? I use the word remember because God does remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's from that root word. That means a memorial, to remember, to keep it holy. And it focuses there in Exodus 20 where it gives us the command there in the fourth commandment. It focuses on God having created all that is, and he rested the seventh day. But we can see then that it's also a memorial for what is to come. And you could read in the book of Hebrews, where it says that in Hebrews chapter 4, often people ask me, why do I keep the Sabbath day? And I turn to the New Testament, and I turn to Hebrews 4, and I show them right here. For he's spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. You see, it's a memorial that looks back. Something wonderful that God did and gave to us. And then we can see in verse 9, there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. And this passage leads us forward to the memorial of the Sabbath reminds us every day of the great promises and the blessings of the future that he has in store for us. I was so pleased to hear the songs that were selected in the opening of this service, and it's referring to those things such as the Sabbath, such as the time when the kingdom of God will be here. We have these reminders as we look back. So memorial is something that reminds us, brethren, and it's so important that we see that. This day is a memorial of something significant that God did and something significant he will do. And then this phrase, the blowing of trumpets, in the Hebrew, it's number 8643 in Strong's Concordance. Teruah is the way it's pronounced. And it means a clamor or acclamation of joy. This is a day of rejoicing. When we speak of the trumpet being a memorial, we need to see this acclamation of joy. We had in the special music and the hymns we sung, the accompaniment of a French horn, which is not quite a trumpet, but is similar in structure. the blowing of air through a brass instrument to give it that tone of a trumpet sound, a clamor, if you will. And it's something that can express things that we cannot express in words. It's the kind of music, it's the kind of thing that can help us to understand some of the emotion, some of the connection to our heart of what this day is about, too. It's a day of trumpets. It's a day of acclamation of joy with a large instrument and a loud instrument that would call God's people together in a joyful way. It goes on in the meaning. It can be a battle cry, or joy, or jubilee, or rejoicing. It can be for alarm, but also it's for rejoicing. And so we say, how is it used in this context? A feast of trumpets. It's a day of rejoicing. We can tell which it is by looking at other verses in Scripture. And I'll just remind you of Nehemiah chapter 8. If you turn and look and see what we see here, this is a time when God's people were gathering after years of not being able to keep these feasts, and then they were brought back into the Holy Land, and they were again given the priesthood that would help them to understand and to live by these words. And in Nehemiah 8, we find it's specifically talking about the Feast of Trumpets. For instance, in verse 1, for those of you who are local, I've mentioned this recently, but I want to mention it again today. Now, all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra brought the book of the law before the congregation of men and women, and all could hear and understand on the first day of the seventh month, today. This is how we can know that this day of rejoicing is something that God intended for us. It's not a day of sadness. It's not a day of mourning. And the people at first, when they heard God's word being spoken, they turned in that direction. And the priest taught them and said, no, don't. And they turned it this way in chapter 8, verse 9 through 12. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest, and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And you know, if you read those words of the law, and you see so many times there were things that God had told his people to do, but then they didn't quite live up to it. And so there was this mourning that sometimes affects us. And then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Lord finds joy in this day. What joy he must find when he thinks of what he's done in the past and what he will do, and announcing those things with trumpets. It's a time of joy for him. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. This morning in the message, we heard about learning and understanding and growing and doing. And we see evidence of that here as the people came to understand how to keep this day. What was the occasion when the sound of a trumpet was part of something that God wanted his people to remember? In Leviticus 23, it says it's a memorial of the blowing of trumpets. What happened before then, where there was the blowing of trumpets? And how does that connect with what will happen in the future? Let's look back in Exodus chapter 19. Israel had just been recently brought out of Egypt, led out by the Lord in the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. He brought them to Mount Sinai, And in Exodus 19, he begins to tell them some of the things that will make it possible for them to have a covenant relationship with him. He begins to give them the law, but he first sets it up in this way. In Exodus 19 and verse 16, "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled." Now, from God's point of view, here he has brought his people out. They are gathered to him, and the sound of this trumpet and the thunderings and the lightnings and the dark clouds and the things that were burning on the mountain, all of that, he was showing them his power. No one and nothing and no nation could stop him from blessing his people. And people saw it a little differently than he did. But from Christ's point of view, and we know that this was Christ, this was a time of joy. His people has such opportunity to be that nation that would be the example for all the other nations of the world. He was bringing them out, giving them such great opportunity, and here they were gathered to hear his voice. The sound of the trumpet was there. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. We have this significant event that's reminded, it's rehearsed many, many times in the Old and the New Testament, that time when God spoke to his people there while they were at the base of Mount Sinai, and he was speaking to them directly. Do you know that they heard his voice as he spoke the Ten Commandments? Moses wasn't the mediator between Israel and God during the time of the giving of these Ten Commandments. It was later when they say, "No, we can't do this. You talk to us." That happened later, but they heard this voice as he established that relationship with them. In Exodus 24 and verse 17, we read this: "The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel." Now you might wonder, why is he speaking of these things on the Feast of Trumpets? It builds, it grows. The memorial looks back. This is the first and only time that I could find in the scriptures where the trumpet and the sound of a trumpet from God's perspective is being used in scripture, before we find it in Leviticus 23 in the giving of that commandment about the feast days themselves. I'm slowly leading into what I want to present to you today. They heard. It was an amazing display of visual effects there on that mountain, too, and the whole mountain on fire and smoking and all the thunderings and the words of God, the commands that he gave to them, the Ten Commandments. God wanted them to remember that event and that day. In Deuteronomy 4, we begin to kind of turn into something that he wished for them and wants for us as well. In Deuteronomy 4, beginning in verse 7, he says, "For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon him. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day. Only take heed. Please listen, brethren, to this. This connects to you and to me as well. On this day, we can see this. Only take heed to yourself. Diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, so that they may teach their children. These are important things that he wanted us to remember. He wanted his people to know this and to teach it to the generations. And again, so very closely to the message we heard this morning. And then you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain. The mountain burned with fire to the midst of heaven, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. The Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. And so he declared to you his covenant, which he had commanded you to perform, that is the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might observe them in the land which you cross over to possess. This is the foundation of that lawful nation that God wanted them to be, that holy nation, the example among all the other nations, if they would heed his word and live accordingly. But God gave them a memorial of blowing of trumpets so that they would remember his gathering of them to himself and his covenant. That was a day of rejoicing. Now, we don't say that happened on the Feast of Trumpets, but that's the event where there is a memorial of the blowing of trumpets that we can connect with this day as well. I want to look forward then. It was important to set the tone by reading those details in the Old Testament to see how now they connect in the New. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12. We were here again this morning. We'll be right back here this afternoon. Hebrews 12, verse 18. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and blackness and darkness and tempest. See, that message was important in the time of Moses. It's also important in the New Testament writings, where we see in the book of Hebrews these great comparisons of the Old and the New Covenant, the priesthood of the Old Testament time and the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Verse 19, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with an arrow. That last phrase is added. It's probably not there in the main script text that the translators had. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. Yes, the voice of God was a powerful sound. And all that was happening was not to frighten them, but to help them to see that he was powerful and he could take care of them and would see them through any of the battles and trials that they had to face. But they didn't see it that way yet. But you, now us, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Brethren, this is where we have come. He's called us to this. He's called us to something so much greater than standing on the plains under Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. He's called us to his kingdom to come, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. You know, that's speaking right there of the time of the resurrection. The spirits of just men made perfect. This year, from last feast till this feast, we're speaking often about going on to perfection. That's part of this day. It's going on to perfection, to come to that time when we will be among the just who are made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Something greater than the sound of the trumpet that was heard at Mount Sinai is still to come. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. This is describing what is called a festal gathering, a gathering of rejoicing, a gathering when God's people will be so filled with his blessings, raised to eternal life, gathered before him. In a sense, Mount Sinai was a place where the physical Israel gathered before him. Mount Zion is where the spiritual nation will gather before Jesus Christ. It's a festal gathering of the holy angels and of the saints of God, the living and the dead. The ones who are now dead would be there too, made alive. And the Israelites in the time of Moses were cautioned to hear and to heed. Brethren, we have that same. I wanted to track this. It's interesting as you see in God's word how the lessons that he used to teach people of old are still there and valid for us now. This is part of what I wanted to bring today. Verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. Brethren, it's not just knowing, it's not just hearing, but then it's applying and doing these things. See that we do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. I stand before you as a weak man saying we need to heed these warnings. When we stumble, when we fall, when we are weak, and I have been recently, I expect you have been too, it's time we can look back up and listen and heed what he says and turn to him with all our heart and all our minds, to turn to him whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. He's speaking of the return of Christ right here. When he shakes the heavens and the earth. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things which are being shaken, the old ways, the carnal ways, the ways of this world, the kingdoms of this world. All of that is being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. What are the things that cannot be shaken? Faith, hope, love, the things of God, the coming of his kingdom, the return of Jesus Christ, the raising of the saints, the things that cannot be shaken, the things we believe, the things that we can rejoice about on this day. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. He used that phrase in Moses' writings. Our God is a consuming fire. He will consume all that is evil, and all that will remain will be holy and righteous, and we will be there with him to live and rule and reign with Christ, first for 1,000 years and then on beyond into eternity. We have similar need to heed these warnings. And I wanted to include that as part of my message today for you, because we need it, brethren. The world around us is crumbling. The people we know are frail and old, some of them. There are many needs in our own families. But we have the sound of a trumpet to look forward to. We have some wonderful heavenly signs to look up and see someday. In Matthew 24, we see things from a point of view of hope and trust and rejoicing, because when we read these things and know that it is our salvation that is being spoken of, and not only ours, but for everyone who has died in Christ in faith, many among us have family. Matthew 24, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So in the Old Testament, we see it in Hebrews, we see it here. Christ is very powerful, and all that is physical, the creation itself, is temporary. What is permanent is his spirit in us, the spirit of the Father. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, but not the people of God. We eagerly await for these things. We eagerly await for that change from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with great power and glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. What will those angels be doing? Good things. Awesome things, wonderful things, things to rejoice about. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from everywhere that one of God's precious ones lies in the grave. In my time here as your pastor, we had a number of funerals. We had times when we buried people at sea, if you will, scattered the ashes on the beach. I poured the ashes of my best friend over the board of a ship out in Puget Sound. The angels will gather them. Mothers and fathers and sons and daughters of you and many others. Something to rejoice about, is something to look forward to, and is something that we can really believe. What will those sounds be? What will be seen? In John chapter 5, since it's about the sound of the trumpets, since it's about the sights that will be part of that great and awesome miraculous display of the power of the Son of Man when he comes, what will be heard? What will be seen? In John 5, verse 28-29, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth." That's probably going to be rather special moment of rejoicing for every single one of them. Lying thoughtless, without any feeling, totally, absolutely dead as a stone. But they awaken. They hear his voice. And those who have done good to the resurrection of life. That's what this day is about. The resurrection of life. Along with the sound of the trumpet, the saints will hear the voice of Jesus Christ. "Come, you blessed of my Father. inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Beautiful words, words to rejoice about. In 1 Thessalonians 4, more of the sounds and more of the sights of the Feast of Trumpets. 1 Thessalonians 4, these familiar verses. And typically we read these at a funeral, and we do so that we can encourage the living, so that we can help them to have hope and faith. But they're here for us today, too, on a day when we rejoice before God for the meaning of this day, because we can certainly believe it. We can stand before him in the final song of this service, bow our heads before him as someone leads in prayer, and say, thank you for this truth. Thank you, God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15 through 17. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. Imagine the joy in Christ's heart when this is occurring, when he can come down and bring salvation to his people. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Imagine the sights. Imagine what that's going to be like when we can feel and sense and see one another rising and those coming from the grave, a great multitude of people. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort each other with these words. These words help us to get through some of the most difficult trials of our lives. And in 1 Corinthians 15, you see how often Christ and the disciples and the apostles, the prophets, spoke of the resurrection and the meaning of this day, the Feast of Trumpets. In 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 23, but each one in his own order is speaking of those who would be made alive in Christ. Each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits. Indeed, his resurrection has already occurred. It's interesting that when Christ was raised, it wasn't with the sound of trumpets. It wasn't with all the holy angels and those great and wonderful and awesome heavenly signs. It was quiet. It was private that first night. Came on quietly, and the disciples, the women, and then the men began to understand Christ was raised from the dead. When he comes to raise his people, he's coming with the power of God, greater power than any other power in the universe, to raise the dead, to give them life again, to give them eternal life, each one in his own order, and afterwards, those who are Christ's at his coming. And that trumpet sounds in verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. It's a mystery because most of the world doesn't know this. Most of the world doesn't believe. And it takes a while for someone to come to understand this truth and be set free by it. It's a mystery to most of the world, but we believe this. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. See, all through this, it's speaking of the sounds and the sights of the meaning of this day, a memorial of the blowing of trumpets. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Great words here through the rest of this chapter. Verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Brethren, the Feast of Trumpets is truly a time to rejoice. It's a time to remember what our God has done in the past when he gathered his people together in that great gathering that is yet to come when he returns, the sound of the trumpet. He's preparing for that future, for us and for him. Some things are hard to go through now. I'll close with this passage in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, ready to be revealed by him when he raises us and changes us. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. All of us have been, all of us are, but we have that joy of this day, and we can rejoice in it, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the time he comes to this earth, the time when we see him descending in the clouds of heaven, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing. Brethren, this is why we say, take heed, stay steadfast, be immovable in this. Believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's what this day is about. We have this Feast of Trumpets, a memorial of the blowing of the trumpets of God. And we keep this feast with great joy.